let's move on to another serious issue. The U.S. Supreme Court said yesterday it's not going to review Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That, of course, is the Pentagon policy implemented in 93, requires servicemen and women to keep their sexual orientation under wraps. It's been a controversial policy, but what about the next step? What about a military that didn't screen out gays and lesbians? Would there be a bigger uproar? We're going to talk about the way that the United Kingdom dealt with the issue, what we can learn from that example. But first, we've got a perspective from the U.S. Sue Fulton served in the U.S. Army from 1980 to 1985, and we have tape of her talking. She's a member of Knights Out, a group of West Point alums who advocate for the rights of gay and lesbian service members.
People quote polls that, well, there's a lot of people in the military who say they would prefer not to serve with gays and lesbians. I suspect there's a lot of people in the military who would prefer not to go to Afghanistan, but they're not going to leave the service.
A little salty there, and so is the entire issue. It's raising a lot of hairy questions. With us from London, we've got Craig Jones, retired lieutenant commander in the British Royal Navy. He was a fierce advocate of army integration in the UK, and it actually happened. In 2000, a court order forced the UK to integrate its military virtually overnight. Now, Craig, thanks for joining us. And let me start with this question raised by the West Point alum we just heard from. What happens when you integrate gays into the military, as you did in the UK?
Well, I think you made a really good point, Fry, in that the UK didn't change its policy, its equivalent of don't ask, don't tell, to altruism, or because we felt it was the right thing to do, or even because it had public support. We changed it because an overseas court, the European Court of Human Rights, said that we had to. So there was no choice. And there was a huge furore in the 2 years before the lifting of the ban in January 2000, in which this was debated on the front page of the national press. And I remember sitting in the officers' mess in one of our aircraft carriers, reading open letters from the then First Sea Lord, the head of the Navy, saying why he firmly believed that the integration of gay men and women would be a real challenge and a bridge too far for the UK military. And then on the 13th of January 2000, our Secretary of State announced in the House of Commons that that ban had to be lifted. And in his statement, he said, the law is the law, and we cannot pick and choose the laws that we want to implement. So you could see that reticence on his part to actually implement this requirement. But I have to say, it was a very, very quiet change, and we had no issues. And actually, lots of people said before the ban was lifted that they would leave the service and that it was, an appalling day for the service. But it's been a very quiet success.
Now, tell us just very briefly what your policy was in the British military. You know, we have don't ask, don't tell. What was the policy before this change?
We had a complete ban. Up until 1991, it was a criminal act under the Armed Forces Act, so people could be locked up in prison. And after 1991 and until 2000, it was an administrative discharge. And we actually investigated people. So it wasn't quite the same as don't ask, don't tell. If we heard that somebody might be gay, then we sent the service police round to take a close look. Mm-hmm. And if it was established that you probably were, you were dismissed.
Lieutenant Jones, describe for me what was the threshold moment. What was it that sort of tipped the scales and either cast this as being a distraction or disruptive within the ranks of the military, or culturally so irrelevant as that it needed to be addressed? What was the change agent here?
Well, I think the business case made good common sense in that actually the discussion that went on in the late 1980s in wardrooms and gentlemen's clubs and officers' messes all over the UK was a ridiculous distraction from the important things in defence, which is about making sure that we're doing the right operations in the right places and that we're equipping people to do the job. That's what military people should be focused on. But actually, we spent 2 years arguing about whether we could manage to integrate gay men and women. And I think that those were a lot of wasted talk. And I think that when we implemented the new policy, it was a huge relief for everybody to be able to talk about something important.
Well, you know, here in the U.S., there's been a lot of talk about a lieutenant, Dan Choi, who is fighting a dismissal order over don't ask, don't tell. We also have more perspectives from service members. This is Becky Canis, who is the chair of that group, Knights Out.
I got out of the Army because I was tired of having to lie about my personal life. So I mean, I did 9 years. I believe I served very honorably and very well. And the military lost me and I think incalculable numbers of others just because at least I can only speak for myself, I didn't want to lie anymore.
I mean, I recognize that it's an appalling waste of talent. And let's face it, secrecy and deceit go against the grain of the often enduring friendships that we enjoy as servicemen and women in the armed forces. And that's one of the great draws to a service career. And I think we should allow people to be honest and open and to be part of the team. I mean, the qualities that we're looking for in service people are a sense of duty, integrity, strength of character, and ability to work in a team. Gay men and women are just as good at that as straight folks.
So, in perhaps one phrase, what do you think the U.S. should do? I would guess that you were in favor of full integration.
Absolutely, and I think it needs to happen quickly. I think that these vacuous arguments need to be swept aside. We all know that gay men and women have played important roles in the development of the United States of America. They're loyal, they have a sense of duty, and they can be part of community. And that needs to be accepted and move on.
All right. Got the perspective of Craig Jones, retired lieutenant commander in the British Royal Navy.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.